Good morning. It's good to see you here today. It's a little different than last Sunday. We only have one congregation today, and we're only speaking in English, but it's good to have you here as we gather for worship on this Reformation Sunday. We celebrate the birthday of the Protestant Church, and we have the red pyramid today and wearing a red stole, celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Protestant Church and Martin Luther's work on that. And it's good to have you here. And if you're visiting, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. Special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who has been our guest organist today and the last two Sundays as Marilyn's been on vacation. We appreciate all of her donations, her gifts of music that she's been sharing with us today. And I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of fellowship and refreshment in our Judson Chapel, which is right behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. This afternoon after the service, there will be a brief meeting of the committee that's been meeting with Bread of Life in St. Paul's Parish, just to do some follow-up on that if you're available. It's a small committee. I know some folks aren't here today, but I'd just like to do some follow-up on that immediately after the service. We'll meet in the parlor. And at 3:30, the Judson Association has its fall meeting at the Zion Baptist Church in Lynn. And there is information there about the program. It's a mission-focused program this afternoon. You'll note that neither of the two Bible studies on Tuesday will be meeting this week. Also, next Saturday, hopefully all the women in the church received one of these pink inserts as you came in this morning. It has the American Baptist Women's Ministries programs for this program year. And you'll note that next Saturday at 11 o'clock, there's a White Cross request. They'll be receiving the White Cross request plus a jewelry silent auction. You're invited to bring your no longer wanted costume jewelry and bid on a replacement. So that's next Saturday at 11 here at the church, and want to pay attention to that. Also, daylight saving time ends next weekend, so you'll want to set your clock back 1 hour next Saturday night so that you'll be on time for church. Also, there's a sign-up sheet in Judson Chapel for coffee hour hosts and greeters for November. I believe there's quite a few vacancies. So if you'd like to participate in that way in November, I invite you to sign up. Also, we are receiving gifts to the World Mission Offering this month, and this is the last Sunday we'll be promoting it. We are a little short of our goal, more than half short of our goal, $385, I believe, a goal of $800. So we have some work to do. We will be watching a video in a few minutes that promotes the World Mission Offering, but do want to remind you of that. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 579 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from both the Old and New Testament as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, I have summoned you by name. When you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, when you walk through the fire, I am the Lord your God. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. When you call upon me, I will listen to you. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We have come to worship Jesus Christ this morning. Our opening hymn is In His Time, number 575. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, how prone we are to come to worship with our minds focused on what we need to do after worship is over and what we should have done before we arrived. Now that we are here, let us be truly present in this place. All of our yesterdays are but memories, and all of our tomorrows are out of our reach. So in this hour, help us to focus on why we are here, to be engaged actively in worship. Lord, may we be open to your Spirit stirring within and around us. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we watched the first two segments of this about young people in Macau, saying, come, we need help, we need missionaries here. And you may remember that Emerson and Ivy Wu heard that call, and the American Baptists heard that call, and that they are being trained and being sent there. I'm going now to remember to put the disclaimer in before we watch it rather than after. This was produced and sent nationally for American Baptists this year. But I am putting the disclaimer in that it does talk about casinos and some of the side effects of having casinos in a community. And so this is not being shown to sway our vote in Massachusetts next Tuesday, the ballot question. So I'm just putting that disclaimer out there. It is talking about our American Baptist mission work and how we can support the World Mission offering. So just having
support. And that's where Emerson and Ivy Wu started when they landed in Macau, a casino resort near Hong Kong, in which less than 1% of the population is Christian. Building on the groundwork started by international ministries, Emerson and Ivy jumped right in. The Wus work with the Macau Bible Institute during the week, Ivy as a lecturer and student counselor, and Emerson as an administrator. They also work alongside IM partner, Evangelize China Fellowship, to minister to children and youth. In their spare time, they mentor teenagers, including 17-year-old Chris, whom Emerson and Ivy met on their first trip to Macau in 2012. Working through international ministries, God has prepared Ivy and Emerson to provide hope and direction to the youth and college students and to raise up a new generation of Christian leaders in Macau.
Almost 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul saw a vision of a man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Today, there are people all over the world, from Myanmar and Brazil to South Africa and Macau, who are also crying out for help. A cry for the hope and light of the gospel in a world very darkened by sin. It's been thrilling to witness the unfolding story of how international ministries helped to raise up, train, and then place a couple in Macau. Macau, as you have heard, is a gambling mecca near Hong Kong, burdened with struggles of crime, addictions, prostitution, and spiritual darkness. First, I am received a call for help from a partner church and seminary. But then we heard a gripping plea from Macau teenagers saying, "Come over to Macau and help us." Next, we prayerfully sought a couple ideally suited to reach out and train youth and college students in Macau. And we found that couple in Emerson and Ivy Wu. We helped provide the training and support the Wus needed so that they would be well equipped to bring the help so desperately needed to raise up a whole new generation of Christian leaders in Macau. With God's help and your support through the World Mission Offering, the Wus and 114 other International Ministries global staff are opening new doors and changing lives. When you give generously to the World Mission Offering, you play a vital role in sending out missionaries and development workers all over the world. Our prayer is that people will come to faith in Jesus Christ, grow in their relationships with God, and change their worlds through the power of the Holy Spirit.
We have an opportunity of supporting not only the Wus, but also our missionaries in 70 different countries through our World Mission Offering. You can see that we're not quite there yet. We have a long way to go before our lighthouse is full and shining brightly. This is the graphic we're using this fall to show our progress toward the offering. And so we're not quite there yet. There are offering envelopes in the pews if you would like to give a gift. If you've already given one and you'd like to give another gift, you're invited to do that as well. Just to remember, not only Macau, but around this world, we are supporting missionaries who are going places that we cannot go to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. And at that, let's pray together. Lord, we do pray for our missionaries, especially those who are serving overseas. We pray that they may know that we are supporting them not just financially, but also with our prayers and our thoughts. Lord, we pray for the Wus, especially today, and the teens and the young adults in Macau, that they can make a difference in their country. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that have been given, and we ask that you would bless the givers and the gifts. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Teachers and students may go to their classes, and choir can go back upstairs. As we come to a time of prayer, we have an opportunity to share our celebrations and our concerns with one another. We want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who's at home, and George Burgess, our scoutmaster, who is home after having surgery to remove scar tissue. George is very weak, but we want to continue to keep George in prayer. Also, Steve Lacey's nephew, Gino, has been very, very ill and is paralyzed from the waist down, is in an extended rehab hospital now, but not doing very well emotionally, dealing with the severity of his injuries. So we want to keep Gino in prayer today as well. Irene Hoffman, I know, was hospitalized through the emergency room this week doing tests, and they still don't know what's wrong, but was given some medicine that and I haven't heard the results of that, but obviously she's not here today. So we want to continue to remember Irene Hoffman in prayer. She's been ill for 6 weeks now and just not sure what's wrong, but doctors are working on it. Also, Jackie May is now at home, having gone home from rehab. Not able to walk, but the therapist thought that rehab was not being any more beneficial. So Jackie is at home now, so we want to keep Alan and Linda, her sister-in-law, in prayer as they are providing the major care for Jackie at home. Also, a celebration last Saturday, was the 50th wedding anniversary of David and Virginia Williams. And so they were away, so we celebrate that with them. They were in Bermuda during the hurricane. So I was telling Virginia, what a memorable way of celebrating your 50th anniversary. But they weathered the storm, and they made it back home, and so we're glad to be able to celebrate that with them today and remember that in prayer. Do you have any concerns or celebrations you'd like to share with the church family? Eleanor? Okay, your cousin Becky had surgery and came through that okay, but has high blood pressure now and can't seem to control that, get that under control. So we want to keep Becky in prayer today. Okay? Anyone else have a prayer request? Not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are all-powerful, all-loving, all-merciful, all-gracious, all-compassionate. We come to you this day, some of us with hearts brimming over with joy that we can barely contain ourselves. Others of us may be so filled with questions, or doubts, or fears, or anger, or questions, and just don't know where else to turn. And Lord, for others of us, we may be somewhere along that continuum. But wherever we are, Lord, we know that you welcome us to your house and into your presence in these moments. We thank you for the opportunity of spending these few moments together in conversation, of opening our hearts, of speaking our minds, but also sitting quietly and with open ears, awaiting your response to us, your message for us. We thank you, God, that you are a personal God, not so remote that you do not care about us, that you love each one of us for who we are. We confess that you may not like everything we do, but you still love us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your forgiveness. When we confess to you our mistakes, the sins that we have committed, we thank you that you're always there for us. Lord, we've lifted up to you by name and relationship some people that we are aware of that are not feeling well. Lord, we pray for your healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for those this day who are in mourning, in sadness because of the death of a loved one, sensing that emptiness in their hearts and in their homes. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may fill that emptiness with comfort and peace. Lord, we thank you that you have created us to be in relationship with one another. And Lord, we especially celebrate with David and Virginia Williams today, and they celebrate 50 years of marriage. Lord, we thank you that you call us to to be in those close types of relationships and for such a long time. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bless them for years ahead as they continue to celebrate the union that they share, the marriage bond that they have. Lord, we also pray for our world this day. Last week, we worshiped in three languages in three congregations together, illustrating the worldwide spread of the Christian church. And we've been focusing on our world mission offering this month, O Lord, as well, and thinking about where Christianity is brought and how it is demonstrated. Lord, as we gather here this day, we pray for those who are on the mission field, those who are worshiping in other languages, in other nations, that we have all the same God. We all worship the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Historically, Lord, we thank you for our parents in the faith, especially those who stepped out in faith, living out their beliefs, changing the course of Christian history, forming what some may call sects, what others may call divisions within the church. But today on this Reformation Sunday, we remember those who made changes in the church, whether it was for the better or for the worse, but we are a byproduct of those changes. Lord, we pray for those who are working today as well, who are making reforms and changes in the church. We pray, O Lord, that they may be seeking your will in all that they do. Lord, we seek your will for our lives as well. And we ask this all now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have an opportunity to present our tithes and our gifts today, to say thank you to God for all of his blessings, and also to present any gifts that we have for the World Mission Offering. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, we do praise you with our words, through our actions, and also through these gifts and songs. We ask that you would bless us and bless those who receive our ministries through these gifts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn is Take Time to Be Holy, number 512. You may be seated. Dottie Latta is our lay worship leader today and will be reading the scripture.
This morning's scripture is Joel 2, verses 23 through 29. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice at what the Lord your God has done for you. He has given you the right amount of autumn rain. He has poured down the winter rain for you and the spring rain as before. Threshing places will be full of grain. The pits beside the presses will overflow with wine and olive oil. I will give you back what you lost in the years when swarms of locusts ate your crops. It was I who sent this army against you. Now you will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You will praise the Lord your God, who has done wonderful things for you. My people will never be despised again. Then, Israel, you will know that I am among you and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. My people will never be despised again. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on everyone, your sons and daughters who proclaim my message. Your old people will have dreams, and your young people will see visions. At that time, I will pour out my spirit, even on servants, both men and women. May the Lord bless this reading from his holy word.
The Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your prophet Joel, your promises of a better time than the people of Judah were experiencing at that moment, Lord, we pray that we may have better days ahead as well. Whatever it is, Lord, we know that you are in control of all of our time. Lord, as we focus on that concept today, for these moments, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us and strengthen us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week is the final days of daylight saving time for this year. As we move to standard time early next Sunday morning, we gain that extra hour of sleep we lost back in the spring. But we only lose or gain an hour when we change the clocks each year. Imagine what it would be like to go to bed next Saturday, November 1st, and wake up the next morning to discover that it is now November 12th. This is not a Rip Van Winkle-like proposal. Something like that actually happened 432 years ago. Our ancestors in England, France, Italy, and Germany went to bed on October 4th, 1582, and got up to smell the coffee the next morning on October 15th. Actually, no days were lopped off of anybody's lifetime, but the date gap occurred nonetheless. The loss of the days was a result of a decree from the Pope issued by Pope Gregory XIII to reform the Julian calendar that was in use. His goal was to make the calendar match events in the solar and the lunar cycles necessary for calculating the date of Easter each year, because the date of Easter was getting way not in the spring anymore. Gregory accomplished this primarily by setting the calendar so that the spring equinox was always near March 21st, where it had been during the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, when the formula for scheduling the Easter date was made. This adjustment required removing 10 days of drift that had accumulated in the years since, because the Julian calendar was 365 and a quarter days, was slightly longer than an actual year. Now, initially, this new Gregorian calendar only covered the Catholic Church and the Papal States, but gradually it was adopted almost universally for practical reasons, including international communication, transportation, and commerce. And we remain on the Gregorian calendar today. But we understand that because we still have trouble even in this country when a few states or parts of states don't change time to daylight saving time and others do, and we see that there's sometimes communication problems and transportation issues there. Imagine if you were days apart in trying to schedule a train ride and how that might be messed up. The 10-day gap in 1582 was a paper loss only. But periodically, we may feel that we've actually lost time. If we've ever been hit with a stomach bug, we know what it means for our life to be put on hold for a week or so. Likewise, think about the days before GPS, when if we made a wrong turn, we might spend several minutes, if not hours, heading in the wrong direction, only to have to retrace all that distance before we could make any actual progress toward our destination. We feel like time is irretrievably lost when we have to wait in gridlock on the way to our work or our school, or when we wait in line at the post office or the grocery store, or sit in the waiting room at the doctor's office? And what about those occasional persons who, after serving a couple of decades in prison, are finally released after the discovery that they did not commit the crime that they had been committed for, that they had been accused of and convicted of? In each of these cases, there can be a sense that time has been squandered or taken away from us. And that's not a pleasant realization, especially when we ponder the finite boundaries of our lifetime and realize that those lost days are not a paper loss, like the change in the calendar when Pope Gregory changed the calendar, but it's time that's really gone. It can never be recovered. Certainly the prophet Joel had, and his fellow citizens of Judah knew the experience of lost time. They had seen, and we don't hear all of that in today's scripture, but to set the scene, they had seen a massive swarm of locusts sweep across their fields, devouring not only the crops they counted on for their nourishment, but every shred of grain that might have fed their flocks. While we don't have the details of the infestation, we do know that during a similar locust invasion in Palestine in 1915, the insatiable insects plowed across the ground at a rate of 400 to 600 feet per day, devouring every scrap of vegetation in their path. What's more, while the crop loss in Joel's day was immediately felt, it also had lingering effects, because even those parts of the plants that would have produced seeds for the next year had been devoured. Joel and his fellow countrymen viewed the plague as a divine judgment, and they turned toward God. And this resulted in the ending of the infestation, along with God's promise to restore the land. And thus, in today's scripture lesson, God says that abundant rain will fall and that their threshing floors will be full of grain again. Imagine hearing that after experiencing and watching this swarm of insects come through and devour everything, recognizing that not only food for today, but food for tomorrow and food for next year and food for the animals has been wiped out. And eventually we hear the word from God saying, rain will come, plants will grow again, your threshing floor will be full of grain. What good news. And then God says to the prophet Joel, I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. Now, of course, God was not saying that he would actually give them back the time that the locusts took. God was not giving them a do-over, like in the old Groundhog Day movie, where the quirky weatherman is able to relive the same day until he gets his girl. No, the sense of what God is saying is, I will give you back what you lost in crops and vegetation, in your sense of well-being, and in your relationship with me. The actual time is lost. It's gone for good. But these other things will be restored. But we have to ask ourselves, is lost time really lost? Can we actually say that time has been taken from us when in fact we did live those days, even if it was in circumstances we didn't like or that halted our forward momentum? John Lennon famously said, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. But it's also what happens While we're busy, it also happens when we're enduring our forced downtimes, sitting in a traffic jam, lying in bed sick, waiting out bad weather, or contemplating what the locusts have eaten out of our lives. In other words, life happens, not just in our productive hours and fun times, but in every tick of the clock, life happens. No doubt those of us who like to accomplish things find lost time especially frustrating. And some of us will respond by seeking ways to redeem that lost time, such as tackling jobs that we've put over to one side during our more productive periods. The truth is, though, that some of these filler activities or so-called non-productive periods may actually be trying to teach us something. When we look again at our scripture passage today, we note that God refers to the locusts that caused the lost time as his great army, which I sent against you. That at least suggests that God sometimes uses the lost time that we experience to elicit a response or a change or progress from us. Just as he used the years the locusts ate to urge repentance upon the people of Judah. In verse 27 of today's scripture confirms that learning is intentional or is intended. For God says, "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I've not abandoned you. I am there with you." That learning takes place other places in Scripture. Certainly in Jesus' parable, the prodigal son, that young man spent time in the far country where he squandered his property in reckless living. And that could be deemed as wasted time. But it was also that the parable tells us that he also came to himself and recognized his need for mercy. And in that sense, his lost time was really redemptive. He got something back from that lost time. For a longer term downtime story, consider what happened to a woman named Catherine, who was the wife of a well-known minister named Peter. It is a true story. As a young mother, she came down with tuberculosis, and her doctor ordered complete bed rest. This seemed to be terrible news for her, for she had a prominent and busy husband and an active 3-year-old son. But the illness was real. And the greater problem was that even after 2 years of bed rest and many prayers for healing, she was no better and fell into a deep despair and depression. Eventually, she prayed a different kind of prayer, a prayer of relinquishment. In a book she later wrote, she explains with these words, "Perhaps I had held back one's heart's desire. So after many days of struggling, I handed over to God every last vestige of self-will, even my intense desire for complete health. Finally, I was able to pray, 'Lord, I understand no part of this, but if you want me to be an invalid for the rest of my life, well, it's up to you. I place myself in your hands, for better or for worse. I ask only to serve you.'" Catherine reports that in the middle of that same night, she suddenly awoke with a sense that Jesus was in her room. And she says that he spoke with her, and his appearance and instruction resulted in her total healing. Her story is not a guarantee of healing for others that pray that prayer, but it does suggest that when we feel at our wits' end can also be the time when we can learn things that come no other way. I'm reminded of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, Lord, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, if there's any other way for this to happen, may it be done. But not my will, but your will be done. A prayer of relinquishment. The lessons learned from lost time can be redemptive. To whatever degree the experiences of those years, whether for Catherine or Joel and the people of Judah, those years contribute, even if it's a negative example, to ones we can learn and our spirits develop and grow, then that time is never wasted. British journalist and author Malcolm Muggeridge, who became a Christian in late life, titled his autobiography, Chronicles of Wasted Time, a phrase he borrowed from Shakespeare's Sonnet 106. But when we read that book, we discover that as he reflected on how he had spent his time, very little of it was wasted in the sense of truly being lost. That may be what God intends. So-called lost time is useful for coming to ourself, for making sense of our life, for maturing spiritually, for progressing, and for listening for God's word to us. In that sense, God does offer us back the time that we consider lost. May God bless every minute and every hour of our days. May we continue to seek His will for all of our time. And let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are with us and you care for us. You made a promise through the prophet Joel to your people in Judah that while they had suffered destruction and devastation, that there was hope for the future. Lord, that's a message some of us need to hear today. Some of us may be struggling with very big challenges. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be in our lives. Lord, when we feel that we have wasted time and energy, show us ways that we have been productive through that downtime. May it be a time of whether it's relearning something, rebuilding something, renewing something. We pray, Lord, that all of our time is in your hands. We ask that you would help us to use our days and hours wisely. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is printed on the insert. It's entitled, No Change of Time. Our time of worship is over. The week before us we'll never have again. May we use our time wisely to bring the love, grace, and peace of God to each person we meet in the days ahead. Amen.